Our second lesson is from the very start of John's Gospel. It's a shorter reading than the last one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I had this great kind of quasi-historical sermon built up, and then the week happened. You guys know that we read Genesis 1, and it talks about darkness and light, and that's day one. And day two, there's a lot of water, and a wind from God settles on the water. And that's when everything starts getting messy. And I could not help but think of that this week as we tracked Irma going right up through the Caribbean towards Florida. There's wind and there's water, and it's pretty gosh darn messy. Now, creation is pretty gosh darn messy. What I was thinking about is that there's a difference between creation when we start from truly nothing. The theological phrase for this stuff in the Latin is ex nihilo. God made all of this out of nothing. And when we pick up the pieces and put them back together, there is a rather large difference. We go into things like first jobs and first schools, and we have no expectation of how this is going to work. And if it goes well, that becomes our expectation, and if it goes poorly, that becomes our expectation. And so the next time we go into a place, we have baggage, don't we? Sometimes it's good baggage and we're disappointed, and sometimes it's lousy baggage and we're excited that it's not the same. And that got me thinking back to my original history sermon about this church. We have a long and illustrious history, and as I've told you several times, we are misnamed. We are not chartered in 1907, the First Presbyterian Church of Marion, Illinois. Now, in 1839, just the other day, as our centennial history has it, the Reverend Nehemiah, aren't you glad we've moved on from naming children things like that? The Reverend Nehemiah Hunt and his wife came here at the direction of the mission board from California. Now, there's got to be a story there, because that's coming the wrong direction. And founded not just First Presbyterian Church of Marion, Illinois, but the first church in Marion, Illinois, of any sort, of any flavor, of any variety, of any theology, of any polity. And Nehemiah lasted like 4 years, and then he was out of here. You see that a lot in the 1800s and 1900s. The pastors change every 2 years. I'm really long tenured at 7.5 years if we were in the mid-1800s. Now, the story of the church goes on. It was right downtown. It was off the square. It was a two-story frame building. They built it for $400. We don't get anything for $400 on a building anymore. And the story goes on from there that the church lives and attaches to a school, Bainbridge School it was attached to, and at some point withers. And in 1870, the church is defunct, and they sell the building, and it moves out northeast of town and becomes the crossroad church and school and takes on its own life, and that goes defunct sometime in the 1940s. Now, imagine, if you will, just for a moment, that somebody in the national office had said, well, mark Marion off the list, ain't no Presbyterians there. Clearly they can't handle it. They couldn't even keep their stuff together for 40 years. But in 1907, Reverend Lyle comes to town. And a Sunday school is started under tents. And we go through a number of buildings and locations and all sorts of funny things. Reverend Lyle lasts about 3 years. And then the next pastor lasts about 3 years. And there's a pattern. It got me thinking about, well, as the kids put it in their prayers, a God who does do-overs. This language of creation that we use is not just one and done. It is a language of creation and recreation, of beginnings and new beginnings. Tim, how many buildings have we burned down? I think it's three. We really don't do well with fire. What if we decided, okay, we burned the building down, sign from God, we should stop being Presbyterian? Right? We could do that. I mean, you know, we would have stopped in 1934, we would have stopped in like 1928, we would have stopped it. We get narratives about creation, and we get narratives about being new creations in Christ. And you guys know, sometimes painfully know, how hard it is to start again. Starting the first time is okay. Starting again is hard. Have you ever had to start again? You move jobs. You get married, you get divorced, you lose somebody who matters, you change places, you start a new school. Starting again is hard stuff. And so it was that I was thinking about a wind on the waters and dividing the waters and having the dry land come up from the waters. And I thought about Houston and Harvey and the Caribbean and Florida and Irma. And that the challenge is not the first go-round. The first go-round of stuff is kind of exciting. You graduate from seminary, you get your first call, you're out there, you're thinking, man, it's going to be great, I'm going to get to do Christmas Eve, I'm going to get to do Easter, it's going to be awesome. And then you realize, they do those things every year. All of my friends who are associate pastors right out of seminary, who preach four times a year, and then they get their first call as a solo pastor, and they find out, there's a Sunday every week. It's really kind of terrifying. For those of us who work outside the church, there's a Monday every week, too. Whose bright idea was that? And some days it's hard to get started again, isn't it? So what is the gift that we who are not currently starting again from derechos or floods can give to the world that is starting again? What helped when you were starting over? You remember? Probably wasn't just cash, right? I mean, cash makes a lot of things better, but memories, history. What else helps starting over? Friends. Joining in. What else? helps when you're starting over. We have this great Genesis narrative, right? And there's 7 days, and there's day, and there's night, and there's evening, and there's morning, and there's everything's put in its proper little place. God does one thing on one day, God does another thing on the next day, God does another thing, slowly moves down. And then we jump all the way to John's gospel, and suddenly, what do you mean? It wasn't just God doing this stuff? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It kind of helps to have some help, doesn't it? When we tell the story of our lives, when do we start? Wednesday morning group, when did all of you start? When we were born, because, I mean, we know it's all about us, right? And some of us were born before others of us. Laurel over there in the corner was like, I don't have that much. I haven't been around that long. My mother's family is full of genealogists. And they're a dangerous group of people to have around. Because they find things. They find stories that exist. So this last week I was playing around with, well, 2 weeks ago, I was playing around with genealogy stuff, trying to find the dates of my grandfather's death so that I could plot them on my spiritual autobiography, because that was important to me. And one of the problems is that if you're on the internet, you know, you go looking for one thing and you find like 800,000 things to look at. So I went down a rabbit trail. I know that surprises all of you incredibly. And I found not quite an ancestor of mine, but the brother of an ancestor of mine. And his name is Dr. Jacob Thomas. And he's from Leesburg, North Carolina, and he moved to Natchez, Mississippi. He was a really, really powerful guy. He was a valedictorian at UNC Chapel Hill in 1831. I'm going back just a couple generations here. He was a congressman. He was the Secretary of the Interior. He was the Secretary of the Interior, and this is the part they don't tell you when they're doing this stuff, who kicked all of the Indians out of Mississippi. That's one of the things he was in charge of, was Indian affairs in the state of Mississippi. So they went from being 30% of the population to being 0% of the population. That's something he achieved. He's got a long and checkered history. He resigns from the Secretary of the Interior the day before Mississippi secedes from the Union and immediately takes a job in the Confederacy. He has a long and checkered history in the Confederacy. The webpage with his bio on it says, Congressman, Secretary of the Interior, Pirate of the Great Lakes. When the war was over, there was a bounty on his head, the equivalent of what the bounty on the head of Jefferson Davis was, President of the Confederacy. I liked him a lot better when he was just the valedictorian of Carolina in 1831. After that, it was all downhill. He became a lawyer. We have recreated his story to make him sound glorious. Like most of us, he's a mixed bag. What stories are we recreating as the church? What stories are we allowing to be recreated when the waters come and the wind goes and things get washed away? Now, my connection to Dr. Jacob Thompson is through his brother, who my great uncle is named after. Azariah. Aren't you really glad that we don't do those names anymore? And so I'm not really a descendant, but you guys know how families are, right? We don't have to be directly connected. That's how the church family works, too. We don't have to be directly connected. I guess what I'm asking you this morning, as we look outside and see a beautiful 70-degree Southern Illinois September day, and we talk about the glory of creation, is, are we involved and willing to be involved in recreation? In church buildings that move, in lives that start over, in waters that come up and waters that go down, in winds that blow, in tempests, both of historic proportions and less than historic proportions. Are we willing to be the people of a God who does do-overs and to allow do-overs to happen both to us and for us and around us? In the beginning is a funny thing, because unless we go back to Genesis 1, that's rarely the beginning. So as you tell your stories, as we do once upon a time, what story are we being recreated as a part of today? Friday, Team 1 will fly out for Marion Medical Mission. And those villages will exist before they get there, and they will exist after they leave. But some of those villages will talk about that day as being a new day, a first day, a new creation. Max's great story was that he was from Marion, and people didn't know Marion was actually a place. It was just a thing that did wells. Marion is a place. When we go out into the world, what part of God's creation are we touching and being a part of? To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.